We're going to continue in Gospel Grace. That's the name of the series I've been preaching on. Some of the great gospel folks who made great statements, who made great statements that we can learn from. Today we're going to look at in the book of Daniel. We're going to look at this great leader in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 of Daniel, the book of Daniel. And we're going to speak on the subject of determined believers that are full of purpose and determination to serve God, no matter what. No matter what situation you find yourself in, one thing should be at the top of your list. All right, how can I serve God in this situation? How can I give God glory in this situation? Daniel was that kind of guy. There's so many great lessons we can learn from Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning, Father God. And as we read about this great man of God and the person of Daniel, Father God, and the fact that he purposed in his heart, precious Lord, we need to this day, beginning this day for some, to purpose in our hearts that we, like Daniel, would not defile ourselves with all that the world offers. Father, we thank you. We ask that you would just give us a hearing ear, an understanding mind, and the ability and the strength and the courage to apply these biblical truths to our everyday life. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk about Daniel this morning, and I use verse 1 through 9 just because this what we do, and we have to read some scripture. I think we read scripture, and I don't want you to think I'm just going to bounce off of it, but I want to talk about Daniel's purpose or Daniel's determination. We read about the word purpose in his heart. What's that word purpose mean is determination, set. So it's a masonry term. Daniel wasn't going to move. Mm-hmm. He was going to stand flat-footed. He was going to serve God in a foreign land. And think about where Daniel was at. And Daniel was in Babylon, away from his families. Didn't have any church to go to. Didn't have really the people of God around him. He came over. Some people say maybe with 150 other teenagers. And these were teenagers, okay? Daniel wasn't 40 years old. These were teenagers. Probably a lot of these boys were probably 13, 14 years old. And Daniel at that age already had a purpose heart. He already was determined that he was going to serve God despite his circumstances. Despite the adversity, despite being removed from his home, despite the fact that he had no parental guidance anymore. His parents were most likely killed. And Daniel still stood strong. Verse number eight said, but Daniel. The name Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. And you know what? If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian today, God is your judge. God is your judge. Hananiah, the name Hananiah means the grace of the Lord. Look at these four boys' names. The grace of the Lord. Mishael, he that is the strong God. Azariah, the Lord is a help. Daniel has some good friends. He has some good friends. Imagine what the other. Maybe if it was 150, imagine what the other 146 of them were doing. Doesn't say that they held Daniel's standard. They might have just started chowing right in. Mm-hmm. They start bringing the steaks down and the wine down. It didn't matter to them. Didn't matter to them if it was offered to idols or if it was offered to false deities and gods. They just chowed right in. They didn't have the same stuff that Daniel had, sort of like Christianity today. There's different levels of growth and where people are at. Doesn't say Daniel sat there and condemned them. Daniel just went to the eunuch and say, I'm not eating that. Okay. You're going to feed me something else or you might as well go ahead and kill me. That's what he really was saying. I'm not eating that. Do what you got to do, but I'm not eating that. And what was the eunuch's job? To present to the king the very best. I think that eunuch, when he heard what Daniel said, this guy got some good stuff in him. What would you have said? What you had to say, when they watched the wine being thrown out, they would throw the wine out, a cup of it, and throw it out on the floor. That was the offering to the gods, and then they would drink the rest. Moses had the same situation we find in Hebrews. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. For a season. Daniel, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. What's he mean by that? Why was that so important to Daniel? It was important to all of really God's people. When a man of God or a woman of God accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, really what they've done is they've had changed their way. They've asked God to give me the strength to stand for you. And like I said earlier, not that you won't struggle. Because the word of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous. No doubt Ruth and whom we will probably talk about in this series. No doubt, Ruth struggled. But she watched Naomi. She watched Naomi. She watched Naomi, how Naomi handled adversity, how Naomi handled the death of her husband and the death of her children, how she worshiped God despite her circumstances, despite being in a foreign land. And when God called Naomi home, Ruth had the opportunity to stay. And Naomi tried to get her to stay. And Naomi told Ruth, go and go back with your folks and go back to serving your God. And we know Ruth's declaration. We know Ruth's statement of determination. And Ruth said in Ruth 1 and 17, she said, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. And what Ruth was saying, I'm determined to serve God. I'm going to serve the God that I've watched provide for you. I'm going to serve the God I watched deal with you. You know what Naomi did? She said, come on, follow me as I follow Christ. She said, follow me as I follow Christ. David, that great king, and I've often said, I'm so happy that God said that David was a man after his own heart, not Daniel. Because we're going to find out today that they couldn't find no problems with Daniel. Won't be hard to find problems with me. Won't be hard to find problems with any of us in here. But you had a hard time finding one with Daniel. But David, like Daniel, was determined. He had a determination. When David got right with God, when you read Psalms 51 and David confessed his sins to God and asked God to purge him and clean him, God did it. And when he did, he did a good job. Know how I know? Because David said in Psalms 119 and 106, he said, I have sworn. He said, I have sworn. 119, 106. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. David said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. 119, 115, David had to clean his house. David said this in 119, 15. He said this, depart from me. This ought to be our statement. A lot of our problems come from relationships. David said this. Didn't matter who it was. David said, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Let me tell you something, believers. Bad company must be chased away. Amen. Let me say that again. Bad company, enemies of holy living. You want to try to live a holy life? How easy is it when you hang around folks that ain't holy? It's not easy. No, it's not easy. It's impossible. Remember I was talking about Barabbas a couple weeks ago. Barabbas made this statement. And I believe Barabbas would have understood Daniel. He would have understood David. And when Barabbas made this statement, remember he came, verses in Acts 11:23, said he came to the people. They wanted to be taught. And now he sent Barabbas to teach them. Excuse me, Barnabas, not Barabbas. Barabbas wouldn't have taught him. Barabbas would have taught him something. They'd have been hellions. Thank you. But Barnabas came to teach him. And it says in Acts 11:23, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God. And I asked the question back then, if he came to this church, would he see the grace of God? He seen the grace of God among these people, and he was glad. Now watch what he did now. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, there's our word in Daniel, and with purpose of heart, watch this, they would cleave unto the Lord. This is what all preachers ought to be teaching. Cleave to the Lord. Don't cleave to the church. Don't cleave to the pastor. Don't cleave to anything but the Lord. Cleave to the Lord. Paul, how can I preach on purposeful living without talking about Paul? Paul in 1 Corinthians 2. Y'all know the verse. Said it so many times. Here's Paul. Purposeful living. Determined living. And I think when I see, when I look out in, among people who would say I'm a child of God, I want to see determination. Do you got that fight in you, that warrior mentality? You ready to battle through some things? Come what may. Christianity, tough. It's tough. Paul said this because he knew it was tough. He knew people were going to try to move him away from the gospel, away from preaching the word of God, get caught up in social things and politics and, you know, and somebody, hey, you know, Trump's coming to Youngstown. You're going down to see him. I know you love Trump. No, I ain't caught up in that. Amen. Okay? Trump need to come to church. Amen. Trump need to come to Youngstown and go to a church where the word of God is being preached. When Paul said, I'm determined not to know nothing or anything among you. How about that? What did Paul say? Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. You can come hear Paul preach, you weren't hearing all this junk. Amen. You're going to hear Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you know what that'll do? That'll bring your numbers down. You start preaching, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. And you start taking a stand on sanctity of marriage. Same-sex marriage and abortion. You start taking positions and watch what happens. Paul says this, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know why? Because he preached Christ and him crucified. And when you preach Christ and him crucified, you better believe Satan coming after you. He's coming after you. So Paul and David and Daniel had a purposeful heart. And I like what David said. Depart from me, evildoers. You know what else he said? Blessed is the man who what? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's Christianity 101. Because who you're walking with, who you're taking counsel from, and who you're sitting with, well, it has to affect you. Mm-hmm. Affect how you're living. Affect how you're thinking. And that question is, do I have a fixed determination? Am I a determined Christian? How about that? You have to ask yourself that question. Am I a determined Christian? Daniel had a pure heart. You're just not going to get a pure heart. Okay, you're not born with a pure heart. Matter of fact, you're born with a impure heart. Matter of fact, you're born with a evil heart. And if you're not born again, you're going to die with an evil heart, with an unclean heart. Daniel had a clean heart. He had a pure heart. How do I know? In Daniel 6, think about this. Here's Daniel, getting ready to face the lion's den, okay? God was using Daniel in Babylon, Daniel 6. King Darius, not the worst king, but he wasn't saved. And it says it pleased Darius to set the whole kingdom, 120 princes, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, Daniel, rather. And over these three presidents whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. This Daniel, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Why? The Bible says because he had an excellent spirit was in him. What's an excellent spirit? Pure heart. Daniel had a pure heart. How did he get a pure heart? He asked God, give me the desire to have it. He probably prayed something like that. God, I'm going to this foreign land. I'm going over here with all these heathen, godless people. Father God, I can't make it without you. Give me the desire to do right. Give me the knowledge to do right. Give me the spirit. Put the spirit of God in me so that I can do right. We learned that this morning, just talking a little bit about Ezekiel. Word of God said, God put the spirit of God in him. He said, open your mouth. I opened my mouth and he put the word in me. It was in Daniel. You know what else is in Daniel? A readiness to do right. Amen. A readiness to do right. Always looking to do right. And you say, well, you can't do it right. Isn't popular. No, it ain't popular, but it's God's way. Amen. It's not popular. It's God's way. It's God's way. You know what? Solomon, the wisest man they say they ever lived, he said this. I think Daniel understood this. Proverbs 3:3. Think about this now. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. What are you writing on your heart? Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. What is Christianity? What is the principle of Christianity? When you think about Christianity, what do you think about? Truth. Truth. Integrity. Morals. All that. Your values. All that. When you start thinking about it, I'm a Christian. See, the problem is we got so many folks saying they're Christian. And they're not, there's nothing in them. And when the world sticks them, and the world hits them on the head with a billy club, you know what comes out? Mess. Seriously. Because the world gonna hit you. And when the world hits a Christian, you know what the world wants to see? Truth come out. Then when they slapping Jesus around, they slapping him around and they spitting on him and they punching him and say, prophesy this, who hit you? And they slammed the crown of thorns on his head. And you know what came out of him? Truth. Grace. Love. Didn't stop him. He still went to the cross to die for who? Not for himself. For us. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He had a pure heart. He had a pure heart. How's our hearts? Not only did he have a pure heart, he had a pure life. I'll sit here and read this. He had a pure life. No, why? Because they went up against him. They attacked Daniel. They attacked Daniel. Why did they attack him? Because of his prayer life. Imagine that. Imagine they have nothing. You got a pure heart. You got a pure life. You got an excellent spirit. They're looking to bring you down because they don't want to be under you. They don't want you to be their leader, so they want to bring you down, and you got a pure heart, and you got a pure life. You got an excellent spirit. And folks are just plotting. And they plotted against Daniel. Excuse me. They plotted against Daniel. Word of God says, In Psalms 37:12, it says the wicked plotted against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. Let me tell you something, folks. I say this stuff, you know, people hear me all the time. You sign up for Christianity, you done signed up for something. Okay? And you got to understand who you following. And that's why I have great respect for the rich young ruler. I talk to him about him all the time. Because when he said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, you're going to sell all you have to go follow me. He said, I ain't got this. I can't do that. And he's asking you the same question. He's asking you the same question. He said, listen, you follow me, you're gonna take something. You're going to go through something. People are like, you know, turn off the TVs because TVs for entertainment. So when you're watching preaching on TV, they're going to entertain you. And they're going to say, well, you know, follow Jesus and send me your money and you're going to have a happy, happy life. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Jesus, they wanted Jesus so bad. And you know what? They couldn't find no fault in him, just like Daniel. And Daniel was following the Lord, and he had a pure life. You know, they brought Jesus before all the governors, and they brought him before Pilate. You know what Pilate said? Somebody said it. He said, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man, touching those things where you accused him. And you know what? Know what they did to test him? They slapped him and beat him around. And they put a purple robe on him, put a crown of thorns, a stick in his hand, and they started mocking him. And you know what? Think about what you would have done. Think about how you would have handled that. You know what Jesus did? Went to the cross where you. They brought him before Pilate. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth unto you that you may know. Now Pilate's bringing him back. That you may know that I find no fault in him. That's what we're following. And you know what? Paul says this about us. Things we can learn from Daniel. And if you want to live a pure life, you got to be determined to live a pure life. Okay? Let me say that again. If you want to live a pure life, it's not just going to happen. You're just not going to wake up and I'm living a pure life. Matter of fact, it's going to cost you something. It's not going to be easy. Well, it's not easy. You want to live a pure life. I want to live a pure life. Pastor, I want to live a pure life. Okay. Put your boxing gloves on. Let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready to fight. And so it's almost the same way people say, well, I want to lose some weight. Okay. Okay. It's going to cost you something. Amen. All right? See, it's the same thought. I want to lose some weight. Okay. How bad you want to lose it?
Amen.
I want to live a pure life. Well, okay. Here's where you start. Titus 2:8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Think about that now. Mm. Well, pure life. You know what it might start with? It might be start with your mouth.
Amen.
But you know what? Y'all know where I'm going now. The words out of abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. Paul talking to the Philippians. They wanted to live pure lives. Philippian church was a great church. Wonderful, wonderful believers. Wonderful believers. And here's what Paul said to them. This is a wonderful church. He didn't condemn the Philippian church. As a matter of fact, a lot of people call it a joy, church of joy. But you know what? He still had to give them a rebuke. And he said to them in Philippians 2:15, he said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Don't get the world nothing to charge you with. Live like that. Think about that. Take God wherever you go. Wherever you go. Packing him up this week. Going to band camp. Guess what? Take the Lord with me.
Amen.
Take the Lord with me. Lord, why you got me going to band camp for 4 days? Well, maybe somebody up there need to be around a man of God for 4 days. How about that? See, we're going to get God glory in everything you do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and all that you eat, drink, and do, do it to the glory of God. So when you're out on the baseball field and you boot a ground ball, what are you going to do? Take the glove and throw it down and start kicking up dust and acting a fool? You have a bad day at the job? You gonna make it one bad day, or you gonna make it a week of bad days? Because you're a child of God. Like I said, whether you're on the baseball field, Whether you're at the office, you're still a child of God. You're still a man of God, woman of God. Where are you at? You're at the restaurant working. Customers start complaining about the food. Guess what? Still a woman of God. See, you have to deal with people with the grace and the love of God because it's easy. It's easy to get off track. Believe me, I know. Paul said, be harmless and blameless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And I asked the question, are you shining? Christian man, Christian woman, pastor, deacon, elder, however. You know why? Because the world want to sink the church. The world want to bring the church down. And the only hope the church has is the people of God. And the only way we're going to be able to fight off the world, we got to be determined. We got to be determined. You just can't step in the ring with the world and not be prepared, because you will get knocked out all the time. Not all the time. And you know what? You're gonna come against it. And the world gonna hate you because you love the Lord. But Peter, talking to these people, Peter talked to his congregation, said this. I thought this was interesting when you talk about Daniel's pure life. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4. He says this, I thought it was interesting. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, and you will be. He says, happy are ye. So if you're reproached, if the world condemns you because you're trying to do the right thing, he says, happy are you. Why? Because you're pleasing the Lord. You're doing right before God's eyes. He said, for the spirit of glory in God rests upon you. You want to know if God's spirit is resting upon you? Ask yourself, am I doing what's right? He said, on their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Now you're being reproached. You're under attack. And God is being glorified. That's huge to me. That's teachable. You're going to be under attack. You don't know where the attack's coming from. But you know what God is commanding us to do? To be able to give God glory while you're under attack. Amen. You know one of the greatest ways we can give God glory? Y'all sang it. We talked about it in Sunday school. Be not discouraged. Attacks are designed to discourage you. And it's one of Satan's greatest tools. You know why? Because a discouraged Christian can't get God glory. A discouraged Christian cannot give God glory. A cowardly Christian cannot give God glory. A stressed out Christian cannot give God glory. Now, are you stressed out? Where's your God? You stressed out. You worried about everything. You can't give God glory in that. Okay? Somebody said, if you're gonna pray, don't worry. And if you're gonna worry, don't pray. It's simple as that. See, he said, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Okay? Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matter. Yet, if any man suffers as a Christian, and you will, amen, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I hope somebody get that. There's glory in suffering if you suffer for the right reason. Okay? Paul was suffering. I talk about Paul and Silas in jail. They were suffering. They was in jail. They were suffering. But guess what? They were suffering for the right reason. They were suffering because they was in the will of God. They was doing what God called them to do, and there was some suffering involved. You're going to suffer. Make sure you suffer for the right reason, because a pure life will always attract envy. Joseph lived a good life. You know what happened to Joseph? The Bible says his brothers moved with envy, sold Joseph in the evening. Why? Because God was with them. I want you to think about this stuff. If you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you attract the evil and the hostility of the world.
Amen.
In John, 1 John 3, 3 and 12, it's talking about Cain and Abel. It says, not as Cain, who was of that evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him. Why did he slew him? Why did he kill him? Here's why. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Righteousness attracts evil. Let me say that again. Righteousness attracts evil. And now, if you're not being affected, there's a problem. There may be a disconnect. James says this. Do you think that the scriptures say in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to evil? Let me see what that means. James 4, 5. Let me read it again. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, or the scripture is wrong, that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to evil? There's a constant battle. When you receive the spirit of God, the evil spirit, you think it just leaves you? You think it just don't have nothing to do with you no more? You think it ain't going to put up a fight? That evil spirit has had a relationship with you maybe for 30, 40 years. You think you're just going to walk away from it? Mm-mm. Uh-uh. That evil spirit is going to constantly test that Holy Spirit in you, see if it's the right spirit. Constantly. You say you're a Christian, boom, hit you with an uppercut, hit you with a body shot. Because it's constantly going to fight against you. That's why I said earlier, you're going to be in a battle all your life, but that evil spirit ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Okay? But I can tell you one place that evil spirit ain't going. When you leave here, now your spirit going to heaven, that evil spirit going to stay right here. Okay? That evil spirit will not go to heaven and fight you. Okay? That's why I say ain't going to be no tears in heaven. And one of the main reasons why there won't be no tears in heaven is because the evil won't be in heaven. Evil will bring about tears and pain and sorrow. Galatians talk about the same subject, Galatians 5:17. He says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Where do you think this battle taking place at? It's taking place in you. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now the key is what spirit you feed the most. Because the spirit you feed the most is the one that's going to win the battles. Okay? So you sit there and you read your Bible 2 minutes a week, 5 minutes a week, and the rest of the week, social media, and you texting godless folks and watching godless movies and TVs and Netflix. Guess what? When all hell break out in your life, guess who's going to be in control? That evil spirit. Because you done fed it big. And it's big in your life. And it's big. And it's causing you big problems. Daniel not only had a pure heart, not only did he have a pure life, not only did he have an excellent spirit, not only was Daniel a man of determination, you know what else he was? He was a man of prayer. When we start talking about Daniel, he was a man of prayer. They couldn't find nothing in his life. Think about that. Think about how easy it would be to find something in our lives. Okay? Daniel was a professional. He's a businessman. You, matter of fact, think about this. They can never find a time where he made a mistake because he said, well, I just want to pay attention. They never would have said, well, my alarm clock didn't go off. That's why I'm late for work four times this week. Never an oversight. Never a slip up. Daniel was like perfect. That's why I say I'm so glad God said David is the man of my own heart, not Daniel. They couldn't find nothing on Daniel. But you know, Daniel, they knew Sunday morning Daniel was going to be in Sunday school. They knew Sunday Daniel was going to be in church. Okay, and then they knew Wednesday night Daniel was going to be at Bible study. He's going to be at the prayer meeting. They knew Daniel. They knew his schedule. And they said, well, we ain't found nothing else. The only way we're going to get at Daniel is at his worship in his prayer life. And they wanted him bad. So they tricked the king. See? They tricked the king. The king wrote a decree and said, if anybody pray to any other god other than the god of Darius, they going in the lion's den. I mean, you think they might say they going, he can't eat, but whatever. I mean, the killing, they want to kill him. You notice the picture of Satan? Satan just don't want, he don't want to hurt you. He's not trying to inconvenience you. He's not trying to do that. Yeah. See, some of us say, well, you know, Satan is making my life a little bit miserable. Satan don't want to make your life miserable. Satan want to kill you. Amen. Okay? He want to destroy you. He don't want to make your life a little, you know, just a little uncomfortable. He want to cut your head off. He want your children, and he wants your children's children. He's not playing with you. See, we play with Satan like we at the zoo and we Satan in a cage and we throwing a little tickle Satan. I remember taking Ray to the Akron Zoo and the lion just sitting there. He's just sitting there. He never moved the whole time. He just sitting there and folks just beating on the window trying to get the lion to roar. Lion was stunned. Now, if you do that, when you're hungry and then you open the doors to the cage, it's a whole different story. And see how I say that? He's not playing. There's a story that there's a zoo in San Diego, and they're playing with the lions, they're playing with the tigers, and these kids are throwing sticks over there, and then the tigers jumped over the side, killed about four or five of them people up there. That's how Satan operates. He ain't playing with y'all. Some of y'all think he's playing. He played with Satan. I'm going to play with Satan. No, keep on playing with him. Daniel was a man of prayer. He was serious about prayer. He was serious about his God. And they knew if they was going to get him, they had to get him through his God. Let me read this. I don't have it. I don't have it. So I want to read it. They made a decree. They said, Daniel, oh, I have it. Daniel 6 and 10. Anybody get caught praying? Going in the lion's den. Now, Daniel knew all this. What y'all think Daniel done? What would y'all had done? Prayer don't mean that much to us. Okay? We only had 5 people at the prayer meeting on Wednesday. So I know prayer don't mean that much. Prayer meeting don't mean that much. I hope y'all praying at home. I hope y'all praying at home. I hope y'all praying on the job or wherever you at. I hope you're praying. I hope the prayer meetings on Wednesday are not indicative of how much we pray as a church. Okay? But Daniel knew that there was a problem. That if he went to pray, they were going to kill him. They were going to throw him in the lion's den. Here's what Daniel, here's Daniel 6 and 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew it was signed. Signed by the king. He went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. He didn't go in the house and they didn't say, he shut the windows. Okay, doesn't say that. He said, the windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, indicating he left them open. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did. Now, this is a key, a fourth time. See, the threats of going to the lion's den didn't affect Daniel. Okay? That's right. See, Paul would say something like this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, Satan don't know really God's people. Job, in Job chapter 2, Satan killed all Job's family. Okay, chapter 1, all his family dead. Now, he come before the Lord a second time. And this time, he looked like he was a little wore out. Because the Lord, God asked him, what you coming here for a second time? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Wait a minute, you done killed the man's whole family. Okay? That wasn't enough. Because it didn't move Job. It didn't move Job. Job said, naked that I come into the world, naked that I leave. And the Bible said, Job sinned not. So Satan comes again and says, skin for skin, yea, all that a man have will he give for his life. How about that? Now I sit back and I think about this. I look over here, I think about these babies over here. You mean tell me? If Job didn't move when you killed all his kids, you think he gonna move because you gonna kill him? It don't work like that. And Job did not sin. Why didn't he sin? You know why? Because he knew God. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer, just like Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer. You know what? If you call yourself a child of God, you better be a prayer warrior. You better be a prayer warrior. Paul said this. Quote Paul. Love Paul. Paul said this. I'm going to close. He says this in Colossians 3:17. He said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Watch this now. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Be a person of prayer. And whatever you do, pray before you do it. And then make sure you pray to God. Ask you, why am I doing this? God answers those kind of prayers. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why? And let your requests be made known to God. Known to God. You have an opportunity that many, many folks never have. You have an opportunity as a Christian that you can get on your knees and ask God some questions. Ask God some questions. God, why? God, when? God, what? God, how? All those. Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know, I sit there and I think about that. And I tell you the story about the car coming down the street hit a deer. I see deer all the time running out on me and different things. And I think about that. I'm like, man, what's that family? Think about what that family is going through. Do you think praying without ceasing, when you hear a news report like that, do your heart immediately go into prayer mode and pray for that family? And pray for those kids that was in the car that had to see that. Imagine them kids that was in the car that had to see that. See their loved one. See a deer come crashing through the window, kill their auntie, the kids in the back seat. Imagine that. So easy to pray without ceasing. Coming home last night from the hospital, and ambulance just took off. I mean, it's just, I don't know where the ambulance is going, but I know it's going somewhere. Coming down Market Street. I don't know where it's going. A lot of y'all stay on the south side. I could have been going to see one of y'all. But I'm praying whoever that ambulance is going to see, that God be with them. Yeah, you know, I mean, it don't have to be long and drawn out. Just pray without ceasing. Be a man of prayer. Daniel This one here. The last one. I promise. Daniel had a powerful testimony. After all that we see, he was a man of purpose. He had a pure life. Okay? He had a pure heart. He had an excellent spirit. He was a man of prayer. And you know what else? When you sum all that up, he had a powerful testimony. You know, people looked at Daniel and they seen God at work. Okay? And when Daniel came out of that lion's den, when he came out, the king could say, Daniel, I pray that your God saves you. And Daniel came out of that lion's den. You know what King Darius did? This was interesting here in Daniel 6. And this is King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you, and I make a decree. He made a bad one before, he's making a good one now. He said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. How's your testimony, folks? People think about God when they think about you. That's our testimony. Do people think about God when they think about you? That's the testimony of a saint. And we call ourselves Christians. I'm out there at the prison, and everybody calls themselves Christians. And I'm watching them. I'm watching the awful testimony. So many go to church, they come back. They come to church, they don't even bring their Bibles. They don't even bring a Bible, they come to church. I tell them, you come to church, you don't bring a Bible. I said, would you go to a gunfight without a gun? This ain't a game. How do you come in here? Like, how do you come into church without a Bible? And I got a closet full of them. Okay? Are you serious about this? You got to know this book. And you ought to be trying to keep up with the preacher. Keep up writing down these scriptures. Then go home and study them. Be like the Bereans. They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they went home and they studied the things that Paul said. If they had to study the things that Paul said, how much more should you guys study the things that I say? Amen. Okay. Y'all heard me. I've been talking about Barabbas. Instead of Barnabas, some folks didn't even catch that. See, all I'm saying is, if you're going to have a pure heart and a pure life, a great testimony, an excellent spirit, a purposeful life, you got to know the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. Some of us know what movies are coming on, what time they're coming on, how many times they've been on in 1 month. When it's coming on again. Then you ask how many books in the Bible. They don't know how many books in the Bible. 60-something.